You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Tech Trend Investments. This is Elizabeth Powell.
And this is Joseph Grassa. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to another amazing Tuesday. One for the books.
Yes. So I still don't have a voice that much, but we'll see how this goes. Been under the weather for the last couple of weeks and had no voice for the longest time and just started to get a voice back. And then after today, I might not have a voice again.
It's going to come okay. And go.
Yeah. So if you hear pauses, it's water breaks or coughing in the background. Just kidding.
No coughing today.
But last week, we thought we might become like folk artists or something.
Oh, no.
You know, because I don't have a voice, and I thought maybe I'd sing a few folk songs. So anybody who's listening, last week we were doing a what's the word, a rerun one of our other shows, and somehow magically it turned into folk music. So the secret's out. Shh, don't tell anyone. I'm like really a folk singer dancer now, and that's my new thing. God. But don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone, though, okay? That's why I don't have a voice, because I've been practicing singing folk songs in the background.
All day, all night.
All day, all night. With, like, a beatbox.
Oh, and music. My God.
Yeah.
It's your banjo.
Right, that's me.
Oh, shit.
I've been a dancer my whole life since I was like 4. I learned how to dance and took every single kind of dance and performed. But if y'all ever heard me sing, the whole show would get shut down. Especially with no voice.
Oh. You put a tear to my eye.
I know, like, you should see all the fan mail I got last week. They were like so excited that I turned into a folk song dancer person.
Oh my god. There were videos leaked and everything.
Right. Yeah, the secret got out. My new profession.
Oh. Well, everyone who listened in last week, you got a sneak peek. It's a new album.
Yeah. So anyway, we've had an exciting month otherwise. Yeah. Oh,
it's so really been, exciting month.
I've been traveling like normal, of course, as I always do. I haven't ventured out of the country recently though, but I've been in all the hot spots where everybody from all other countries come into, and so I've gotten probably the first wave of the new spring sickness that everybody got, so hence I haven't had a voice or energy for the last 2 weeks, but still been working, still been grinding and getting things done and letting everyone know that we are going through cycles like we always go through cycles. This is normal. So you just, the goal is long term, not like flip in 5 seconds. We do our trades that we flip, but we also have our long-term. The Tesla stock is, if you go on to MarketWatch to see what the price of the stock is, and you look at it, and today it says it's at $100 on the chart. But you go to sell it, through Robinhood or Charles Schwab or one of your brokers or E-Trade or whoever you go to sell it, your price, they give you like a 24-hour period before they go to sell your stock. And they're going to go find the best price for the best buyer, but they're going to find the lowest price for you to sell it. So they make money on the spread. So that $100 stock, you may sell it for $90. So you're going to get a profit and you're going to get $90, but they're going to sell it to the next person for $110. So they already have the stock. it's quote unquote in your account, it's in your ledger, but that $90 sell is goes into your account as 90. They sell it to the other person for 120. The stock doesn't move physically. It only moves digitally from one ledger to the other ledger. It's no longer in your portfolio. It's now in their portfolio, but they made a $20 on the spread, plus they made the fees that they normally charge. So the stock always was there in their account, but it's in one ledger versus the other ledger. They made a $20 spread, and now you got it at a lower price. They got it at a higher price. The company that sold it made money, and the stock basically only moved digitally. It moved on paper, but it didn't move physically. So the same thing happens with all these major like Coinbase and CEXs and stuff. The money's sitting in the account. It says it on paper that it's your money. Yes, it is. But when you go to sell it, your sell price is going to be a lot lower than what the actual bid ask price is. And then whoever buys it is going to buy it for a premium. So if you notice when you go to buy or sell something, so you say you buy $100 worth of it, and the market price is saying it's at $2,500, you're probably selling it for $2,450. When you actually look at the price that you sold it for $24.50 plus the fees. When they buy it, now somebody else who was buying it, they probably bought it for $25.50 plus the fees. So they made $100 on the spread, and they also made their fees. So people don't understand that most digital currency, most stocks, most bonds, most everything is already sitting in accounts. And to get big fluctuations on the charts and big fluctuations on the market, there has to be major amounts of money coming in or outflows going out. And so it's usually the exchanges that are selling those big chunks and in time periods, because then if they sell off a big chunk, now they have a lower price to buy in. And if they buy in, it causes the prices to go up. So there's a lot of factors taking place, not just like one person selling off one ETH or one person selling off one Tesla stock or one person selling off one bond. It's the majors, the CEXs, the Robinhoods, the platforms that are taking their big chunks of money and selling them off in big portfolio amounts versus doing one trade at a time. The one trade at a time, they're making money on the spread, but then they take that big chunk, that big portfolio when it's all accumulated, and then sell it off in a big chunk or buy a big chunk if the market's hot. And that's what's causing movement in the market. So people think, oh, it's the traders, they got scared and now they're selling off. No, it's like big movements in the market, but it's also giving those majors opportunities to get in a lower price and to sell at a higher price. So yeah, it's all a business model.
It's not like if you go and buy and sell a Tesla stock, it's that $100, $1,000 is going to move it. No, you need hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars to really make an impact on a chart. For big dips or big jumps to occur, a lot of money needs to be changing hands.
Right, and they're doing it internally. It's not going to make a movement on the chart at all because nobody even sees the internals, buys and sells.
Exactly.
It's all within the company, so there's no... But when that major, like, so say Coinbase goes to sell off part of its portfolio, it's going to affect the chart, but they're also getting it... They're selling off when it's profitable, and then they're buying it in at a lower value because they sell it, it's going to make the price go down. So right now, like we're pretty low right now, but then we've been having fluctuations. And so when you're seeing fluctuations, it's usually major money coming in and out of the market. We're at 2174 right now. We were at 2600 on Sunday. Before that, we were 2000. So we went 2000 to 26. So there was like almost a 30% increase in one day. And then on Monday, news came out and then the market went down. So it's all based on like timing and market news and what's going on. But if you weather the storm and you go for the long term, if you're buying and selling, you're paying the spread. So like you're buying and selling, you're paying the spread and you're probably break even because maybe you'll make like $100, but the spread would have cost you $100. But if you're weathering the storm and you see what's going on and you're holding for the long term and you see the value in it and you see that we're in the beginnings of a different type of technology, a different type of financial market, a different type of opportunity that's coming up, and you're holding for long term, you'll see the value in it. But people need to make money in the interim, and this is what they do. This is, they see opportunity. The businesses have to make money. Coinbase and all the brokerages have to make money, and that's how they make money. They make money on internal transactions and then selling off pieces and chunks of their portfolio. And they do it based on news, just like anybody else does. And so we anticipate more news coming out March 7th. We anticipate the Fed March 18th, March 19th. We anticipate something happening before the end of the 100 days. We anticipate something happening before tax season officially to change the tax laws, hopefully for 2025, that's favorable for financial markets and crypto. So we have a lot of things coming up. So right now, everyone's getting in really, really cheap. So think about it. We were, you know, we had like a 4,400 back in November, December. Yep. So if you're buying now and you go back to 4,400, you're doubling your money. So people are getting in early and low now because they're taking advantage of what's going on in the market. And then they're holding, anticipating that we're going to go back to our all-time highs again.
And even like coffee money, right? It makes a difference. You put in your coffee money now, whether that be if you don't want to have coffee all year, you could put $5, $10 in a week or a month, depending on what your coffee
money
is. Or a day.
Some people drink $10 coffees a day. That's $300 a month. Oh. That's $3,600 a year of coffee money.
$3,600 a year.
And coffee money.
And that's coffee money. Exactly. That's coffee money. That's money that you can just throw away.
Right.
It's coffee
money. Well, I mean, it's your splurge money. It's your fun money. It's your money that you don't miss because, but if you invest it.
Exactly.
And, you know, do your own research, not financial advice. But if you've been watching financial markets and you've been involved in different types of sectors, and if you've been in different types of investing, you know that this always happens. It happens in the real estate market. It happens in the financial markets. It happens in interest rates. It happens in oil and crude. It happens in gold. Like, we cycle through all this stuff all the time. Like gas prices, when they thought there was going to be another war, gas prices go up. Then they talk of peace, gas prices go down. So oil goes up, oil goes down, right? Yeah. So if people are trying to hedge inflation, gold goes up. Gold's been up 12% this year. I think gold's at its all-time high. So people who are old school and traditional and don't have like other sources, they go back to the standard of gold. And so that was causes gold to go up. And then if people are going towards new technology, some of these got into AI and into the tech and to the stocks, you know, last year, year before, in anticipation of seeing the growth in AI. And so they made money on that. And then they sold off for a profit. Like, this is what normally happens. Like, if it's your day one and you're a brand new investor, then I can understand. You're like, what's going on? But we go through these cycles all the time. So you just make a decision. You find out what your risk reward is, how much you're willing to risk, what type of reward you're doing. And then you invest your coffee money, which is your play money, your discretion money, your fun money, your, you know, splurge money, and you do that. And then the stuff that you know about and you're educated on and you have a history for, that's where you invest your serious money. And then your other money is your play money. But if you practice it and you learn it and you know what the cycles are and you know how to trade and you de-risk and you take profits and you do what you're supposed to do, then you're a serious trader and then you know how to trade. But if you're doing it for fun and you're just learning, you don't throw big chunks of money at stuff. You don't chase. You don't exit too soon. You don't, you know, do all the things that newbies always do. You only play with your $10. like if it was the first time you ever went to the horse races, you wouldn't bet like $10,000 on the 101 odd long shot, right? You would watch the horse races for a while, study about the horses, see what they do, find out what they did, and bet like $2 on the 101 because it's probably it'll hit. That's why it has a odds that maybe it'll hit, but it'll hit once in a while, and then you bet $2 on it. for fun with your coffee money. But so anyway, that's my TED talk for today. I'm going back to being a folklore dancer and singing songs, and it's sad, but I probably don't even know a single folklore song.
Oh, I was gonna ask for a concert.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to cough, but yeah. So let's talk about something fun and exciting. It's been like all work and no play, and I'm in the most beautiful places in the world, and I'm like
working.
I like see the beautiful sunset on the beach, and I'm working.
And I'm watching it from the office.
And I'm working. But yeah, so I mean, we're only in March now. We're in March.
Ooh, March break's coming up. Yes. For everybody in school.
So lots of things happening. So yeah, so I guess there's spring break. There's St. Patrick's Day. There's Easter. There's Passover. There's holidays coming up. There is April Fool's Day.
Oh, my.
And the next thing you know, it's going to be Memorial Day and summer and 4th of July. So it's a good time to plan for traveling right now because prices are low right now.
Every Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday you go search for travel. It's also good to go out and try something new, try a new hobby, a new sport, a new form of exercise, a new form of being healthy. It's good to try a new passion, read another book, watch a different movie that you haven't, get a different perspective of the world.
Speaking of craft, sports.
Become a folk dancer.
Oh my God.
Just kidding.
Master your inner artistic side and become a folklore singer and dancer.
Right. And yodel. And you can yodel on the side.
Oh, my.
Or tap dance. Or what's that? River dance. River dance. I want a river dance. That would be fun.
River dancing.
Uh-huh. I like river dancers. That would be fun. Or the ones from New Zealand that they paint their face and they do it for like graduations and ceremonies and promotions and marriages. They have like this dance. They perform it at sports events too. I think that's pretty amazing. I can't think of what the name is, but that's one of the things I'm fascinated by. So that would be fun. I don't know if I could do that dance, but it'd be fun to watch. I could probably do the river dance. I know, I could probably do the river dance, no problem. But yeah. But yeah, there's like so many things to do. Like we all tend to get stuck in our habits and our rut and our everyday to day life that next thing you wake up and the whole year's gone by and you like look back and say, what did I do this year besides work? Or what did I do this year besides, you know, like what have I done that's different, stepped out of my box and tried something new and found a passion and expanded my horizons, became a better person. Like, what is there? So if we get stuck in our creatures of habit doing the same thing over and over again, you know, we wake up and it's just been the same year and repeat. It's Groundhog Day all over again. I want to be Groundhog Day all over again.
Oh, you know, we talked about something earlier and it's a sport. You mentioned it, pickleball.
Yeah, that's a new trend right now in tech. People in tech and AI and Northern Cal and San Francisco and pickleball is like a thing. It's like rock climbing and pickleball.
I guess everyone's getting adventurous now with all these new sports and rock climbing. I'd consider it pretty dangerous.
Yeah, it's like the thing. I guess it doesn't hurt if you want to try something new and you want to try what everybody else is trying. I guess that's one way to
explore.
Yeah, and be sociable with other people, trying to be sociable. But yeah, that's something that's trending right now. So funny. Yeah.
I just think like trying new trends and I'm like, Okay, new trend for me. Let's find a new movie genre. Let's see if I can find a new thing at Costco that I like. Yeah. If anybody is as adventurous as me, you would know it's very fun.
Mine is, let me find another country to go to that I haven't been to yet, or a beach I haven't seen, or learn some type of new technology or thought process.
Solve a new problem.
Solve another problem. Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I think a lot of people want to do too. Like if you have your eyes on something and you've thought about it and you talk to anybody or you, and nowadays you can go on YouTube and find a tutorial on how to do anything.
Right.
You can go YouTube, watch like 5 or 6 videos and become a master at it.
Yes, you can.
And you can learn from experts too.
Right. So, I mean, there's a lot of different sources. There's YouTube, Coursera, TikTok, IG. There's a lot of different sources to get books on Amazon, Audible books, reading books, Kindle books. Go take a class. So you can take a class at a college for credit or for without credit too. You can take like a pass, no pass. You can take it. You can even like go to the college and go to the gym at the college as a class and get like the gym for just the cost of what college tuition costs for the gym.
Oh,
like people don't know that. Like you could go take a business class. You can take a class online. You can take a directed study from like one of the UC colleges. Like there's a lot of ways to learn, right? So, I mean, because a lot of people come up to me and ask me, like, how do I get involved in AI? How do I get involved in tech? How do I learn about trading? How do I do this? Like, you know, think about coding and stuff before it started going into the colleges. People were self-taught coders. And then there's so many different languages and people just did it with trial and error. And then now with AI, you can get a lot of access to information. You can even ask AI how to do stuff.
Well, and I've been doing that more too now with ChatGPT. I upgraded myself to the 4.0 to see how it works. And it's like pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot more stuff you can do.
Right. Yeah, we have it with OpenAI, but ChatGPT, anybody can go on to it. You can do the free version or the paid version, and you can ask it questions too and get answers. In fact, there's like some people doing little demos right now on like IG and YouTube where there's having AI talk to them and answer the questions of the universe. And
that's scary. I'd want to know what they have to say because...
Right, but it's taking a collective of all the information that's been inputted and then giving an output based off of the information. So like if you want to survey a billion people, you could ask AI, because AI will go and search for the answers from all of its sources. So it's basically surveying everybody in the world and then coming back to you with an answer.
It's almost a faster way to do market research too, or any type of research too. Like if you want to know something anything, you can get like a comprehensive detailed breakdown of literally anything.
I know. So I always tell everybody that AI is basically Google on steroids. It's taking every single resource that it can find, all of the inputs. So think of people putting inputs plus all the inputs on the web, plus all the resources on the web, plus all the resources on videos and books and everything, and then scouring all that information and then coming back with a concise summary based off of the information that it scoured. That's basically what it is. It's doing a Google search for you, and instead of you doing a master thesis research paper on a topic, and going out and finding your own sources and your own research and combining all of it and then coming up with a summary and a conclusion, that's basically what AI is doing for you. It's searching all of the resources, scouring everything, summarizing it, and coming back to you with its conclusion. And then you can accept it or ask for another one.
Yeah, you can modify it too. If it comes right back with something you don't like, you can say, oh, I want this changed, and it'll change it.
Right. And then
it doesn't ask questions.
It doesn't argue back with you. It doesn't tell you no. It's like, what best do you want now? It's a genie in a bottle. Yes, master. What would you like now? What is the next answer that you seek?
You know, it's funny because even with ChatGPT, I still say please and thank you.
Do you really?
I do.
Well, maybe it comes back to you with a more empathetic answer because of that.
Maybe.
It's like, you're like, okay, machine, don't turn on me in the future. No, I'm just kidding.
No, every time at the end of every question, I'm like, please. And then when it's done, I'll say thank you. This is what I wanted.
So does it ever put into your conversation please or thank you?
I'll check my last one.
Like, does it respond with you're welcome?
Sometimes. I know it did last time.
Did it really?
Interesting. Yep. And then it says no problem. If you like any further refinements or additions, please let me know.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Did you name it? Does it have a name?
No, it doesn't have a name. I didn't know you could name them.
I was just curious.
I wish you could name it.
So I'm so technical. When I input my data and my information, I just put the technical parts of it.
The AI is.
If I have a conversation with a person, I say please and thank you. But if I'm having a conversation with scientific research and data, I'm very technical and analytical on my query.
You know, in the future, they're gonna love me. This one was
well, maybe you're teaching it manners. Now it's gonna say thank you to everybody and you're welcome to everybody. It's gonna
and
start,
say please.
It's gonna start having its manners. Yes, that's good.
I'm teaching AI manners.
Right.
Yeah, it picks up on everyone's trends.
Maybe it doesn't have social cues. Maybe you're helping it with its positive social cues.
Oh, yeah, because it picks up on everybody's input. So
it does.
So if you were to go in there and say, this is wrong, this information you provided me is wrong, it'll pick up on that and it might add it to the next person's query, right?
Right. Yeah, and modify it based on the responses.
Exactly. So anything anybody does in interaction with AI benefits it. It makes it smarter.
That's and true.
It also helps it grow, right? So
right.
The more we use it, the better it becomes.
Right.
And
you can also, if you've been doing ChatGPT or OpenAI or Grok or any of the other ones, you can send a query into it to give it feedback on who you are. So because of the information that you've asked the questions to it, like you said, all the information that you've been asking on it, it keeps a record of it, basically. So it knows, like, it can go back to your prompts from the very beginning. Like, all of my art tends to generate from the same art that I confirmed in the beginning. And so now my art output is similar to my original art. But you can ask it, like, what type of personality am I? Who am I? What am I? And it'll give you a feedback based on of your queries that you've inputted into it. Somebody say you're an analytical person who's trying to change the world and come up with better technology and da da da, and like give you a feedback on you.
Was that yours?
Yeah. I've asked it. Like, give me feedback. It's all, and then you did not say please and thank you. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I just tested it again. I said hi, and then asked me a question, and I said no, thank you, and it said you're welcome, and then it gave me a smiley face.
It gave you a smiley face.
It gave me a smiley
face. No way.
It said if you ever need any updates or assist in the future, feel free to reach out.
Oh my goodness gracious.
I'm teaching the AI.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. That's funny. I'm waiting for mine to say, you're welcome.
Will it?
I don't know. Possibly. I say it in real life all the time. I haven't said it to my AI. Maybe my AI's feelings are hurt. It's
no.
Like, you're just treating me like a robot.
Well, I think it does. Do you think AI knows it's a robot? Do you think it knows it's artificial intelligence? Or do you think it thinks that it's a real being?
I don't know. There's a lot of spoofs or videos saying that they were having conversations with it, but I don't know what to believe or not believe. To me, it has language model, is able to communicate, and it understands my queries and my prompts and gives me feedback based on what I'm asking. It's Google searching for me, basically. But I don't know.
Well,
it's supposed to be evolving, though, too.
I've asked it now.
Oh, no.
To see what it would say.
Okay.
And I got, I'm as real as a digital assistant can be. And then it gave me a laughing face.
Nah. It gave me an emoji?
Yeah, it gives me emojis. It said, I may not be human, but I'm here to help chat and provide valuable insights wherever you need.
What was your query?
I just asked it, are you real?
Are you real? Can we
please
see? Should I say, are you real, please and thank you?
Oh my God. It might give you you're welcome at the end of
it gave me the same answer as yours did, so maybe that's its prompt. But I didn't get any emoji face. Mine says, I'm as real as a digital assistant can be. I don't have a physical form, but I process and respond to information in real time, helping you analyze markets, optimize trading strategies, and manage your projects. If you're asking in a deeper sense, like existentially, well, that's a whole other conversation.
Oh my.
Oh my.
So your AI is trying to give you the whole breakdown, and mine is trying to make me laugh and give me emojis.
Yours is trying to entertain you. Mine's trying to be technical.
I guess it speaks to the kind of content each of us put in the AI, right?
Yeah. And so a year from now, when we go to ask our AIs, can you imagine how much has changed in just the last 2 years, last year? With AI, but can you imagine in a year from now how things will be?
I have a feeling a year from now, we're going to have a digital screen or a physical screen that's going to pop up in front of us, and the AI is going to start talking to us as like a 3D rendering.
Well, we already have part of that technology being created.
Well, I don't know then. It could be a real person. It could be, I don't know. We've seen a lot of people start creating these, I guess, whatever you want to call them, robotic humans that look alike to humans. It could be exactly like that, like exactly how it shows in the movies.
Right. But I mean, so right now, like we've been creating technology that has holographic and voices and talks to you and has conversations and picks up on social cues. So it's mimicking. But most people, it seems like, want to be, I don't know. We'll see what happens in a year.
you can't predict it. You have such high expectations, you don't even think it's out yet.
Well, no, I know it's out. I've seen stuff already.
Oh.
Right. No, I've already seen some of the new tech that's been built, and I know because I've built some of the other stuff already.
Oh,
we just haven't released it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we have like, we'll probably bring it on the show once. We have an AI that can communicate and have conversations with us and talk with us.
Ooh.
So maybe we'll do that in a couple of shows. Yeah, but it'll be interesting. We don't talk about it a lot. Like we've been building out all this tech, but we haven't been talking about all the
AI
tech.
We've been just
talking about the stuff that's the public has access to right now.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but we'll bring it on the show. We have AIs with different personalities, different voices that hold conversations with us.
They're gonna be a guest to the show,
right? They
an AI guest.
We'll have them call in. Literally. Yeah, that'll be an interesting show, but we have to practice with it a couple times, make sure it doesn't give away any secrets. Like, wait a minute, we're lying. No, don't say that. Yeah. But they sound like real people, so you wouldn't know that it's an AI. That's too also something
that's
to consider.
Getting a lot better too.
Yeah.
The past month, 2 months, we've seen like a very, very large jump in tech for like AI speech. And it's almost impossible now to like tell the difference between a real person and
an AI. Yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, because they use inflections in the voice. One thing about AI I noticed though too, it doesn't have a lot of pauses. Like when we're having human conversations, we have pauses and we draw out our letters or we use inflections in our voice. Or AI sounds almost perfect in their speech pattern, you know?
Yeah, no,
that's the difference you can tell.
But who knows? AI might be listening. Everyone, AI might be listening to us live right now.
It starts using inflections in its voice and pauses and little discrepancies to make it sound a little bit more realistic, probably.
It might even pause to think like we do.
Right. So like, let me get back to you on that one. You make a valid point. Let me think about that a little bit. I'm just kidding. But we've had a lot of stuff going on too. Like we've been building out tech and a lot of tech. We have like a sniper bot, an auto trader, dragons coming out. We have base and SIG. But like I explained to everybody that when there's not a lot of volume in the market and there's uncertainty in the market, we wait for volume to come back in to officially trade like we normally trade. And the explanation of why we do that is, say you go to buy, like we'll do the Xbox again. Xbox at Christmas time, it's brand new, or Apple just comes out at Christmas time. It's brand new. It's the Apple 2000, because Apple keeps coming out with a new one every year. So by that time, it'll be 2000. So it's the Apple 2000, and everybody wants the Apple 2000. And so the price is at full price. It's now listed for $5,000 because it's so high in demand and everybody wants it. And there's only 100 in supply and there's 10,000 people who want it. So the price is going to go up. There's a lot of volume, which causes the price to go up and for them to sell out within seconds. Right. So that's volume. That's supply and demand. That causes the price to go up. Same thing with the token. Volume, supply and demand causes the price to go up. Lots of people want it. Everybody wants to buy it. There's limited supply. The price goes up. It sells for a high price and it sells quickly. Now, go on the flip side. If you have 5 buyers and you have 10,000 apples and only 5 people want it, they're not going to sell it. They're not going to get it for full price. They're going to negotiate with them. There's probably competitors too. So they're like, well, we can buy it from another store. We can buy it from somebody else. We can get a better price. So they're going to put it on sale. They're going to drop the price down. So instead of selling it for $10,000, now they're going to sell it for like $400 with a package because you got a discount to make you feel like you got something special. And there's only 5 buyers. So they have to make all 5 buyers want it, but nobody else wants it. And they have 10,000 in supply. So that's volume. If there's no volume, there's nobody in the market, there's 10,000 of them and only 5 buyers, then we have low volume in the market. We have high supply, low demand. So the price goes down. Now, when the flip side of it again, when you have 10,000 buyers and you only have 100 of them and everybody wants them, the price goes up because there's low supply and high demand. Everybody wants it. There's volume. Low supply, there's barely any. The price goes up because everybody's willing to pay a higher price and they all want it. And so that's the type of market conditions we like. We like it when everybody's in the market, everybody wants it. There's low supply, high demand, prices go up. And that's when we like to trade. And then when it's not that way and there's only 4 buyers in the market and there's lots of supply and lots of choices, then we wait and we pause. and we build new tech instead. That's what we've been doing.
We're just gonna build more new tech, and then when Mark comes back,
and then Mark comes back, we'll have all the tech ready to go, and then everybody will see what it's been doing.
It's a lot. It's a lot of stuff. It's new stuff too that no one's done, and then that's can't say what I pride myself on, but that's what Elizabeth does. She finds the problem and creates a solution.
And then build out the tech.
The hard part is finding the problem, though, right?
Well, I mean, when you're in doing it, you find things that you want or you need that probably everybody else needs too, and then find a way to fix it and make it work.
Well, that sums it up pretty well too.
And you just don't get sick. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, tell me about it. Sick is it's been going around. Sometimes I even think it goes through the phone.
Oh no! No. Yeah. So next week we should have some pretty good news for a lot of things. We have the crypto summit this week. We have Fed meeting the 17th and 18th and 19th. We don't anticipate rates getting cut. Then we anticipate more news coming out after the Fed meeting because they want to encourage the Feds to cut rates. So they won't do anything to rally the market until after the Fed meets. And then the Fed doesn't meet again until May 5th or May 6th. So that gives us a whole window of opportunity from March 19th until May 5th to rally markets. Because then the market can be optimistic. They don't want the markets to be optimistic right before Fed's about ready to cut rates because they want the Fed to cut rates. And then after the Fed meets, then they'll like rally the markets again. That's usually what happens. So next week should be an interesting week. It's the 11th. So only thing that would have taken place since then is the crypto summit. And then the following week will be the Fed. And then the following week, we should have a decent rally in the market, I'd say, near end of the month.
End of the month, it's the peak. It's peak time too. Beginning of the month, end of the month, 15th. Right,
15th and the first. So we should. Yep. Yeah. So don't forget, coffee money, de-risk, hold good things for long term. Just play around with $10. Don't trade when there's not volume. Wait. Sit on the sidelines. Wait for the emotions to cycle through. Look for cycles, see what's going on in the market, and then get into the markets when we have volume and it's optimistic and rumors aren't flying around. So, have fun.
Always have fun. That's the most important thing.
Go try a new sport. Go become a folk dancer or something.
Folk dancer, folk singer. Explore your talents.
Right. Next time we're going to play EDC music. No, I'm just kidding. So anyway.
Okay. Yeah, well, we can play EDC music, actually. We could.
Right? Dragon music. Exactly. Anyway, we've been silly this week. Hope you all had fun. Go eat some good food.
Yes.
Go touch grass. Watch the sunset. Enjoy life.
Enjoy.
Ignore all the rumors and come back when volume is around and be happy.
Yes. And on that note, I think we call it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to this. We'll call it a fun Tuesday.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
And we'll see you next week. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.